thank you for tuning in. So I know it's been a while since I've done a vlog or a podcast, so I'm going to hopefully start getting come more regularly on that. There's been a lot going on. Things have been busy. But this one here today is going to be on how to run less calls, right? In our industry as a service technicians, and before I get started on that, total transparency, I was a service technician for 20 plus years, whatever. And then I've owned a company for about 15 of those years, maybe. So I got started at about year 7 or 8 after working for another company. So I am a business owner, but I take the role of, sorry about the phone, operations manager. So basically what that, my job is mainly making sure both our external and internal customers, internal meaning our, employees, external meaning those we serve out in the field that pay us for, for our service are all happy, and everybody's moving in the right direction and flowing evenly and running smoothly. And, I'm often given the task of, accountability, holding everybody accountable, including myself, which is a lot harder than you think. Holding yourself accountable is a really, really damn hard thing to do. So that's my role. But as an owner, I have a lot of strong beliefs where, we succeed together, all of us. But if one of us fails, then, we've all failed. Also within our company, we're pretty flexible compared to most. We allow a lot of things to, kind of slide, if you will. But we do address them and, we do keep, positive momentum. And, thing is, everybody's got different lives. Your life shouldn't, center around your workload. Yes, there are very busy seasons in this industry that require you to be present more. But your account, and it doesn't matter. Your success is engaged, and the success of your company has nothing to do with how many calls you get and how many calls you run. Average tickets, and average tickets does play into this, conversation quite a bit. Within our company, I don't use average tickets to basically, judge and gauge how well a technician is doing or not doing. But what I will tell you is those that are not kind of following the process that we have in place and the direction and instruction I give them do almost always, if not always, tend to have the lowest average tickets within the company. Now don't confuse average tickets with a really high, revenue coming in. And, for an example, I can have a technician that has, $150,000 to $300,000 in total revenue for the year, but their average ticket is, a couple hundred bucks, $300, right? And average tickets for us are including both service projects, repairs, as well as, replacement jobs that they sell. So when I see that, meaning again, a decent revenue total for the year, but a very small average ticket, that to me is like a red flag saying, okay, this technician is most likely, responsible for beating themselves up. And you don't want that. That's not good. And it adds to stress and physical wear and tear in your body. And it's just not good. Rule number one is get to work on time. Simple as that. Don't be late. And on time is not on time. On time is 5 minutes or more earlier than when you're expected to be there. In our company, our office tends to operate in 2-hour blocks, giving our customer, basically a 1-hour window of arrival. And not all companies do that. That just works for us. That's how we always operated. And our technicians are typically expected to start their day at 8 o'clock on their first call. Now, what does that mean? As a company, we like to see them there at 7:50, 7:55 at the latest, but they do have some leeway, meaning 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock is the scheduled time. They have some leeway to go to get there at 8:05. If they arrive after 8:05, they're late to work, right? And there's not a company that any of you that are listening or watching this belong to that are going to allow you to come to work late every day. I mean, it's not good. It's not professional. And it causes a lot of problems. Now, what are some of the problems it causes? Well, if you're late to your first call, you're doing one of two things, right? One, hopefully you're still taking the time and serving the customer, right? And, you know, if, for example, if it's a cleaning check, you know, you're doing a cleaning, you're checking it, you're reporting on it, and you're giving some recommendations for improving, you know, potential problems or deficiencies, and then you're documenting all your notes and doing everything we talked about in the past. But the other thing you could be doing is, which is really bad, is rushing the call to get yourself back on track. And that is not good, because you're shortchanging everybody, including yourself, and that ultimately leads to you beating yourself to death, which is only you have control over that at that point. Now back to the first guy, right? The first guy that shows up late to work. I apologize for my dogs there. I am in my garage here working. But the first guy, hey, the first guy who shows up late to work but still does what he's supposed to do is showing a better, you know, level of professionalism, because he's not cutting corners, which is ultimately really important at the end of the day. However, what they're doing is that 2-hour block. So if I have two 2-hour blocks next to each other, right? And let's say the first one goes 8 to 10, which in our case it does. And the next one is 10 to noon. Now, in our case for cleaning, yes, we give a 2-hour block for a cleaning check. Now, when done correctly, shouldn't realistically take you any longer than an hour and a half, leaving you a half an hour to stop and get a coffee, fill up some gas. I'm totally cool with that in our company, and get to your next call by that 10 o'clock appointment. Well, what happens if I run into a problem? Well, then you got to communicate with the office, right? And most likely the best means of attack with that, if it's cleaning, is to, schedule a repair for another day. And that always doesn't sit so well with a lot of company owners and business owners. But what they don't understand is that the trade-off is, you know, you're helping one customer. You may be screwing 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 down the road here, down the line in the same day. And you're better off not screwing anybody, right? So if they have operation, you want to come back to it. But so back to that. So 8 to 10, 10 to noon. If I show up late to my 8 to 10 and I take the whole 2 hours, I may not be arriving to my next call till 10:30, closer to 11, right? Now I'm running, so I'm late to that call. Now I'm running 2 hours again. 11, supposed to stop at noon because my next call is at noon at 2, pushed at the 1. So I'm running behind the entire day just because I am 5 or 10 or whatever, how many minutes late to my first call. The problem with that too is you pissed off a lot of customers, right? You've immediately lost trust with a lot of customers, so they're less likely to take your options and recommendations and things like that, because you can't even, how can they trust you when you can't even show up to work on time, right? In some events, you're hurting your entire team, right? Now, in our case, we consider we're a team. And we try to help each other out. I mean, that's kind of one of our core values. And the problem there is that, you know, if you're running behind on schedule and say everybody for the day was scheduled to work till 4 o'clock, but now you're running behind. Now one guy is going to be having to work late because of you, right? They're going to have to take one of your calls and put on somebody else's schedule. Now you're not only you're beating yourself up, you're beating up the next guy. It's just not good in the office point of view, right? Those that are in charge of helping, you know, lay the groundwork, set the stage for your success, right? Well, you're making their jobs a lot harder too. Why? Because now all those customers, they're having to fuck around with the schedule and change things around, and then having to call these customers and let them know that, you know, hey, listen, unfortunately, I know we had a agreed upon time and our technician's running behind. They're not going to throw you under the bridge, hopefully, because you should never talk bad about anybody, including, you know, other companies and especially those internally. But you throw in their entire day off. You're adding more to their workload, which already is pretty substantial because they're trying to, you know, progress you in the right direction. Meaning they're filling the schedule for the other day. I mean, the office of for the dispatcher and CSR, the office is to book the calls, fill the schedule, and, you know, set the stage for the technician. But you're taken away from that. So and then when you start doing that, and you're still losing trust with the office too. And then they start to wonder, well, shit, we got this customer that's got a real tight schedule, right? Everybody's busy nowadays, got a real tight schedule. We have to get there at 10, no later than 10:30, and this customer is ready to buy and ready to make our recommendations and do all these things and all this other stuff, guess who they're not going to send? Most likely the guy that's running late, I'll tell you that, because they don't want to screw that up. Video. Phone keeps ringing. Sorry. Step number two, but it's going to be a kind of a two-step process. I know it's step number two, but it might be, we'll call it 2/3. First part of that step is going to be sell your own work. But when you sell your own work, sell big, right? And when you sell your own work and you sell big, meaning you go out there, you look at it, everything on there, right? You know, maybe they need a blower deep cleaning. Maybe they need an evaporator pull and clean. Maybe they need a, you know, a capacitor and all these things. Don't just sell one thing. Oh, you're going to do a capacitor. No, no, you're going to do it all, right? And you're going to present it all. And that's, you know, for another video. And I've talked about that in the past as well. But sell big and sell your own work, right? Now, the second kind of part of that is, right, the only way to do that is you have to self-educate yourself on knowing what you're looking at, knowing what you're looking for, and some, you know, talking skills, how to talk to people, how to present things. And that only comes with practice. That succeed in, you know, selling their own work and selling big and things like that are pretty much self-educated, right? I mean, because, you know, you go to all these vendor classes and you watch all these YouTube videos and all these things, stuff like that. But you really need to take the time to understand what it is you're hearing, you're seeing, you're listening to, all these things in order for it to make sense. And then, you know, practice, you know, talking to yourself in the mirror or something about it. You know, practice talking to, you know, a family member or a friend about it, you know, or something like that, and see how that sounds and how that works out for you before you go and talk about these things to your homeowner or your client. So an example is indoor air quality, right? You know, I preach a thing, you know, we're trying to, you know, first you've got to remove all the stuff out of the ductwork. And if you do a thorough duct cleaning and sanitize, then you have to trap any of the, you know, loose debris and particles that are flowing through the air with, you know, improved filtration. Then you have to kill germs and bacteria, you know, with the, you know, purification systems. You might have to dilute VOCs with, ventilator systems, air ventilators, indoor, you know, whole home ventilators. You know, then you're adding humidity or decreasing humidity or both, right? You know, so that can be a main focus, right? Indoor air quality, for sure. You know, because I mean, that's a big hot topic button these days, you know, especially post, you know, COVID-19. And, you know, everybody, you know, you go into the gym and they've got, you know, or the doctor's office and they got, you know, filtration systems there, and it's already been put in the forefront for you. You just have to be, you know, knowledgeable on it and be able and willing to talk to the homeowner about it. One I like to add on to every repair is a, you know, some type of surge protection system for the unit, right? You know, it used to be in years past, it was an ongoing joke of a guy didn't know, or it was a, not that great of a technician, where he didn't know what caused the problem. They'd blame it on a, you know, well, you could have had a surge. Well, how do you prove that, right? Well, nowadays with the, you know, weak infrastructure that we have, electrical infrastructure, you know, it's not that uncommon to have power surges and brownouts and things like that that can, you know, really wreak havoc on equipment that has, you know, integrated, you know, circuit boards and all these other things, and expensive components and ECM motors and all these things, where, you know, nowadays, if I do, you know, if I'm offering even just a simple igniter repair, I'm offering an igniter repair with, you know, surge protection unit for the furnace, or if I'm doing a, you know, I don't do just like an example, air conditioners and capacitors. I don't do just capacitors. This could be a topic for another video also, but you know, if you're going to replace the capacitor, replace the contactor, add a start assist kit, either a two wire or three wire, and then always, you know, pair that, you know, put that together with a surge protection system. And in some cases, you know, a little bit of AC renew doesn't hurt, goes a long ways, but that's dependent on what it is. You know, again, make yourself knowledgeable of these things so you can offer them appropriately. Don't be a scumbag, you know, offer them appropriately with integrity. You know, if they don't need it, they don't need it. But surge protection systems, that's a big one. Offer that in everything, and it, you'll definitely, you know, see yourself, you know, having a bigger ticket with that and things like that. And you're providing a much better thorough service to the customer and ensuring the health and long life of that unit. Number four. Okay. Step number four, I mentioned in the previous step, is do your own work, right? You know, sell your own work, you know, sell it big, but then step four, do your own work. Well, you can only do your own work if you know how to do it. So I see guys, especially newer guys, and it's no fault of their own, to an extent, they'll sell like a humidifier, right? Or humidification system, or they'll sell, you know, some type of intricate repair, you know, something where they don't feel comfortable doing it, right? Well, I hate to tell you this, but, you know, even seeing somebody else do it a million times is still not going to give you comfort in doing it on your own, right? You just have to dive in, you know, do all your due diligence, do some reading on this repair, you know, tell the office, say, listen, I got this repair out here. They're going to ask you, well, is this something you can handle? Or tell them, you know, yeah, this is something I'm going to take care of, but I need to schedule for a later date because it's going to take me some time. And then go home, do some research, ask around, and then go back there and tackle that repair and do it. Dive in, and then, you know, it'll get rid of that anxiety. Oh, I don't know if I'm, you know, I got the right tools. Well, you could find all that stuff out prior to going to the repair on your own. I mean, this job, HVAC part is not, it's not rocket science. Okay. It's really not. And I used to tell our guys, listen, if I can do it, any of you can do it, because I'm not that smart. And realistically, a lot of it is, you know, doing your own homework and being proactive and knowing what you're walking into. But, you know, do your own work. Don't just go out there and sell shit. You know, you just keep selling. Now you're leading down the path of getting a lot of calls, because why? Well, hopefully it's obvious, right? If you're on your own repairs, and some of these are pretty extensive repairs, like, you know, we're in the Midwest, we have boilers, and they're, you know, half day, full day, maybe a day and a half to do repairs, or ductless systems are another one. You can, you know, say, hey, you know, I got to come here and do this because the customer wants a specific way and I need to be available to help them do it. You know, you're going to be running a lot less calls because you're tied up on longer type of calls. So, you know, learn how, gain confidence, do some research, but ultimately do those repairs that you sell. Don't just sell. This video, short, sweet, and to the point. I'm already at, I think, I don't know, at this point, 17 or 18 minutes or something like that. So I'm going to cut it off there because, I mean, you guys have some things to work on for sure. And there's some good, valid points, you know, and just to recap, right? I mean, you know, go in, educate yourself so you know everything you're looking at. Educate yourself on the products and services that your company sells. You know, sell big, right? Sell big. And when I say sell big, I mean sell with integrity and things that they actually need. But, you know, sell the whole job. Sell the whole repair. Be thorough. Do your own work, right? You know, gain the confidence and the knowledge to learn how to, you know, do your own repairs, do your own installations. You know, if you sell a furnace, maybe you don't know how to put a furnace in, start learning how to put a furnace in. You know, start asking to ride along with, you know, install crews and helping out, even if it's just, you know, shagging tools for them or shagging materials for them. You know, the more and more you do that, and then while you're doing that, ask, you know, hey, you know, I'm out here helping you guys out. I was wondering if maybe you could help me out. I've never done gas piping before. I've never done drain piping before. And ask. And when you ask people questions, you know, for help, they're naturally going to want to help you. And that's how you gain experience. So I'll think about this video for a little bit, but I think I gave you a lot here that's going to help you out. Maybe I'll put another one out, you know, another podcast or video out later on if I think of other things that are, you know, going to help you out a lot. But run less calls by running, you know, more thorough calls. And also by, you know, giving yourself opportunities by, you know, through knowledge and, you know, being able to look on bigger types of equipment. So hope this helps. Good luck.